All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this morning, we want to look at the idea and the thought of personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. You heard something even in that testimony. I was like, that is interesting. His father did not continue on with his walk with the Lord because he blamed. Did you hear that in that testimony? He blamed someone else for something else. And ultimately, what we want to look at today is the idea of we are personally responsible for our life. We are personally accountable to God. We cannot blame anyone else. It is us. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 through 10, the Bible says this, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." You notice the words there, we must all appear, and that everyone may receive. There is personal accountability. Your mom and dad are not going to appear before God for you. You're not going to appear before God for your mom and dad. The person that you blame for this, that, or another, they are not going to stand before God for you. They're going to stand before God for themselves, but you will stand before God for you and for what you did. We are all personally accountable. Let's pray. We'll look at the scriptures today. Father, I ask that you would help us. Help us to understand that one day I will stand before you. One day each of us here will individually stand. We aren't going to stand as a Tumwa Baptist Temple. We will individually stand, everyone, for we must all appear before you and give an account. And Father, I pray that you would help us to grasp this today. Father, I pray that we would lay aside every excuse, every blame, any reason, any thought that this is why I'm not or this is why I am, and God, that we would just accept responsibility. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we do live in a society that does not want to accept responsibility. We live in a society that wants to blame everyone else for why everything else went wrong. It's just a fact. That's not something that's new. Let's look at a few verses. Romans 14, 12, the Bible says this, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Okay, I don't give an account. Now, to some level, in Hebrews, it says that a pastor will give an account of other people. But each of us, for every one of us, will give account of who? Of himself. That means you are going to answer before God Almighty. I want you to think about God for just a moment this morning. I want you to think about His holiness, and I want you to think about His righteousness, and I want you to think about the fact that you have His Word. I want you to think about the fact that you can know who He is, you can know about Him, you can know what He is angry at, you can know what He loves. You can know the attributes, the characteristics of God Almighty, and one day each and every one of us will stand personally before God to give an account for himself. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You will stand before God after you die, after you leave this body. You will stand before God. 1 Corinthians 3:13 says this, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Look, this isn't going to be a group thing. There is individual accountability. There is individual responsibility. Now, to some level, a man has some responsibility for his family. There, to some level, a man and his wife have some responsibility for their children. But when it is all said and done, we grow up and we stand before God by ourselves, for ourselves, and we have personal accountability. Now, giving an account can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. Philippians 4:17, the Bible says this, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Do you know that if you give to God, you work for God, you participate in the ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ, you give a cup of cold water in His name, that there are rewards for that. There are some of those things, and it goes to your account. And that's a good thing. All the negative can also go to your account. Now, we are not looking at a situation, we'll get to the end of the message, we'll lay this out, but we're not looking at a situation where I hope my good works outweigh my bad works. And we'll deal with that in a moment. But from the first sin, man tries to blame others for the bad. You notice that everybody likes to take responsibility for the good. You know what? If the play goes well tonight, everybody went, "Yeah, I got my part down and this went well. And I did the lights well and I did this well." But if it goes bad, Brother Schrock, all him. Yeah, that director. Yeah. He shoulda, he coulda, he would. You know, people love taking account when something good happens. But when something bad happens, boy, the blame starts flowing out. Notice Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve had both sinned. God comes to them, verse 9, says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Now, God was not asking him because he didn't know. God was asking him so that Adam would step forward. It is a good thing to take personal responsibility. It is a good thing to step forward and say, "It was me." And take account of what you've done and deal with that thing. But he says, "Where art thou?" Verse 10, he says, "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" All of a sudden, Adam has the knowledge of good and evil, a knowledge of right and wrong, a knowledge of what is pure and what is impure, and Adam realizes, I'm stepping before God, and as I step before Him, God knows and sees everything that I have done. And God says, "How did this knowledge come about? Why are you afraid? Why have you hidden? We've fellowshiped before. You've stood before me before. There was no problem. What has happened?" And God says, "Did you eat of the tree? Adam, did you sin? Adam, did you do this thing that I told you not to do? Adam, did you disobey me? Adam, what's going on here?" And the very best thing for Adam at that moment would be say, "Yes, I." But what does Adam say? "And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." He deflected. He did not take personal responsibility. He deflected it over to the woman, and ultimately he blamed God. He says, "The woman that thou gavest me." God, this is not my fault. God, this is the woman's fault. And this is, it's her fault, but it's your fault because you're the one that gave her to me. I was fine before she came along. I wouldn't have eaten it. And he blamed her for his sin. God here shifts. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the day of thy life." Deflection. A lack of personal responsibility. If you get a bad grade in school, whose fault is it? But what do you hear so often? "Well, I didn't have time to study because this." Look, there you can make up a million excuses. You can pass the blame on to someone else all you want, but you have to give an account. And when it comes to God, there are three different illustrations given in the Bible. We won't read the whole of the accounts, but one is in Matthew 12, one is in 18, and one is in Luke 16. And Matthew 12, 36 says this, "But I say unto you," these are the words of Jesus, "that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Do you know that every word that you speak, there will be an account given? Every bad word that slips out from between your lips, there will be an account given. Every idle word, every point of gossip, every rumor, every bad thing that you make up, every bad joke, all of that is going to be an account given before God Almighty. So we should watch what we say. Matthew 8, 23 says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants." Now who's the king? King of kings and Lord of lords is Jesus Christ. And he is going to take account of his servants. And there's every servant is going to get called. If you were to read through the parable that's given there, one servant gets called, another servant gets called, another servant gets called. Luke 16, 2, he says, "And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." Here a man calls a steward. He says, "I heard that the books aren't right." And the general tendency is, "Well, this person didn't pay, and so I had to shift from this." No, he didn't say who paid, who didn't pay. He said, "I want you to give an account." There is personal accountability. There is personal responsibility in our lives. No excuse, no denial, no blaming someone else will take away personal accountability. You will answer before God. You know, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, if you would turn there. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible, in describing God, it says this. Let's go ahead and read verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Do you know that God knows what you do? God also knows why you do it. And no excuse, no blame, no denial will cut it when it comes to God. You may be able to buffalo your boss and get him to think something. You may be able to trick your family and they may not know. But all things, when it comes to God, all things, the Bible says, are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. there is personal responsibility. See, because God knows, and God knows why. You cannot blame anyone else on why you skip church. You can't blame anyone else on why you don't return to church. I've heard more things said, even in the testimony that was given this morning. My dad didn't return to church because the preacher left and went somewhere else, and he blamed the church for that. Now, when he stands, and as he stands before God, is that going to cut it? And God says, hey, you got saved. Why didn't you go to church? Well, the church didn't treat the preacher right. And Jesus says, well, did I do that? Does that change the command? Does that change the fact that he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? And I've heard it all. Well, I don't want to go to church because this person's there. I don't want to go to church because that person's there. Or I'm not going to go to church because that person left. I'm not going to go to church because I don't like that you hired that person or that you fired that person or whatever it may be. Excuses, blame. God knows the ultimate reason, and the reason is not this person or that person. The reason is your heart is not right with God. You are personally accountable to God. Take personal responsibility for your sin. And each and every one of us need to do that. You cannot blame your husband or your wife for your failed marriage. Oh, it's real easy to do. Well, she or well, he did this or that. Look, men, first and foremost, you have responsibility for your family. Did you get up and have your family in church under the preaching of the Word of God? Did you have family devotions? Were you and your wife reading the Bible together? Were you praying together? Did you lead her in a righteous path? Did you watch and guard who your friends were? Who is influencing your wife? Your husband, whoever it may be? And look, there's extreme accountability that God gives to a man, but there's also accountability that's personal for the wife. So, well, my husband, this, this, and this, and this. You know, there's people right here that have husbands that are not saved, and they can still have a good marriage with them. And if anybody wanted to blame, well, my husband's lost, I should leave him. No, you married. You work it out. We're having conflicts. We're having problems. Work it out. You know, we can work out every other area of life. Work it out. You don't get to blame someone else. Take personal responsibility because you know what? Ultimately, God knows every detail behind every part of your marriage. Every detail. God knows who said what. God knows who did what. God knows who's telling the truth. God knows who's not telling the truth. God knows every time that you didn't treat your wife right. God knows every time that you didn't treat your husband right. God knows every time that you were overly harsh with somebody in your family. And God knows every time when you weren't harsh enough. God knows everything. You don't get to lay the blame on somebody else. Take personal responsibility. You cannot blame your childhood for your temper. Well, my dad had a temper and he lost it. So, do you have to? You cannot blame your childhood for your lack of character. Well, my parents didn't have any character and I don't. No. You don't get to say even this. My mom and dad left when I was just a kid and I had to be raised by somebody else. You still have personal accountability and personal responsibility before God. Because ultimately, and I understand there are things that affect childhood, but when you get grown up, you answer to God. You have a choice who you're going to be when you get out of bed tomorrow. You have a choice. You're responsible. We cannot go on and, oh, I'm going to blame my dad, and I'm going to blame my mom, and I'm going to blame this that happened when I was a child. And there's so much of it that goes on. Look, stop blaming everyone else and just say, you know what? I'm not right. I need to get right. I need to do right. I need to go to church whether mom and dad ever went to church. I need to read my Bible whether anybody ever read the Bible in my home. I don't have to sin just because somebody else sinned. You have a choice. And when we blame anybody or anyone else for our sin, we're just playing the blame game that's been played since the first sin in the Bible. You know what Ezekiel 18:20 says? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And it goes on to describe it. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. You cannot blame your workplace environment for you not being able to hold down a job. Who has the absolute perfect job with no problems? I would say me, but you're all sitting right here. Miss Lou liked that. You know what? Hey, every job has its problems, doesn't it? Now, I love my problems, okay? I really do. Not my problems, but... I honestly, you know, it's a blessing to work with people. But people have struggles. And guess what? Nobody has the perfect job. But you know what? People have been able to hold down the imperfect job for 40 to 50 years on end. But somebody else comes along and, well, it was this and it was that. Well, how do other people work there? See, you can't just pass the blame on to other people. Hebrews 9:27 once again says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Turn with me to Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. I want you to see the verse before the verse that we already read. Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. The Bible says this, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord. Now let me ask you this, does the Lord live? He does. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now verse 13 goes on and says, Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You know what? If you cause someone else to fall, that person is going to give an account for their falling. But you give an account for putting a stumbling block in their path. God knows, see? God knows every dealing and every reason. And look, don't worry about what somebody else did, what somebody else is doing. You take accountability for you. We could all look at it and say, well, when I was a teenager, this pastor did this. When I was a teenager, this person left. And I had a bond with that person, and man, they were my mentor, and they left or they went off and did this. Jesus didn't. We have personal accountability. Romans 1:20 says this, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Do you know that no one is going to be able to stand before God and say, well, God, I just had no idea you existed. God will say, did you look at creation? The point was made yesterday in the message at the teens. This is a pulpit. One day it just appeared. No, we look at that and say someone made it. And God says, when you look at the world, you know there's a God. And you're without excuse. And people say, well, I didn't know. Did you go looking? Because I strongly believe that any person that seeks God, God will be found of that person. Did you go looking? Or did you just believe the evolution book? Now, let's look at some good news. Jesus paid a debt, and he allows our sin to be put on his account. In the book of Philemon, Paul writes about a young man who got saved. His name was Onesimus. Onesimus had run away from and possibly caused some level of damage from Philemon, who was his boss or his owner, if you will. Onesimus was not a free man. He was a slave in that condition. And he had run away, but he got saved. Paul writes back to Onesimus, or to Philemon, about Onesimus. And he says, I'd like you to take him back. He says, what I'd really like you to do ultimately, would you free him so he can work with me? And we don't know exactly what Philemon's response was, but I have a tendency to think that Philemon probably freed him. But he says, if Onesimus caused you any damage, Paul writes and he makes this statement, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Paul says, would you charge it to me? Don't charge it to Onesimus. Now, Onesimus had personal responsibility. And Paul said, I would like to take that responsibility for him. Paul had the mind of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and he said this. Josh is personally responsible to God for every sin that he did. But I want to pay for Josh's sin. God, would you put his sin on my account? And Jesus made the offer. Are you saved? Josh received the offer and said, thank you. I believe that Jesus died for me. And God put his sin on Jesus' account. And you know what? When he stands before God, and God looks and says, every man must give account for himself. And Jesus steps up beside him and says, that's on my account. I paid for it. You want to talk about a great, great thing. Now, does that give us, oh, you can go out and live however you want because it's all on Jesus' account? Well, do you really want to do that to Jesus? Here, let me put something else on your account. No, I tell you what, somebody comes along, and there are people like that in this world. If you came along and paid every debt that they had, they would just rack up more. But you know, a person who is truly thankful and appreciative is going to say, thank you for bailing me out. I'm going to do right from now on. Second Corinthians 5:21 says this, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Would you consider that this morning? I hope that doesn't get old to you. Jesus Christ steps in and says, put that on my account. But he doesn't just stop there. Jesus Christ says, now I want to take all of my righteousness and I want to put that on His account. Now, do you want to serve Jesus? See, all of this self-centered, me first, not taking personal responsibility, forgets the great debt that Jesus Christ paid for us. And how can we stand there in any level of selfishness and self-centeredness when we look at it and the only reason that we aren't going to hell is because Jesus died for us and we received Him as Savior? So Jesus paid the debt. Jesus makes the offer. But Psalm 51, we're going to end at Psalm 51. So how do you get this shift? How do you get Jesus' righteousness on your account? How do you get your sin on His account? It starts with personal responsibility and personal accountability. It starts with this, verse 2 and 3, the question is given, or the request is given to God, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge, what's the next word? My transgression and my sin is ever before me. See, when a person gets ready to get saved, Jaden, sit up. When a person gets ready to get saved, they have to first say, I am a sinner. I acknowledge my sin. You can't stand there saying, well, the only reason I have any sin is because my parents did this and this did this, and there's no blame on me. That person, until they acknowledge their sin, there's no getting saved for them. That person could look and say, well, I want to go to heaven. Acknowledge your sin. Because before you ask Jesus to wash whose sin? Wash my sin. You know, when a person comes to confess before Jesus Christ, they're not looking at it and saying, Jesus, would you take care of our sin? No, it's personal. It's you. And every single person, from the littlest people here, you can't say, well, you have to let me into heaven. My mom and dad were Christian. No, every person has to come to that point in their life where they take individual responsibility. And when a child is old enough to understand, I'm a sinner, I have sinned, I'm headed to hell, then they can call out to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. Would you save me? Personal responsibility. Every person will give an account. Did you get saved? Well, no, God, I didn't. Why didn't you get saved? Your eternal destination is hell. Because all your sins are still on your account. But this morning, if you're here and you've never put your sins, never asked Jesus Christ to put your sins on His account, Jesus died for you. He wants to save you. He paid your sin debt. Will you call out to Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you? Will you personally step up and acknowledge your sin and acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner and your judgment is hell and you ask Jesus Christ to save you? Personal responsibility. And then once you get saved, will you live for the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you do right? Will you follow the Word of God? Will you live for your Savior? Because there's personal responsibility beyond salvation as well. Not for salvation, But when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ, it's about rewards. It's about eternity. It's not about whether you get eternity. It's about how things are going to be in eternity. Personal responsibility. You hear it. I hear it. The denial in our society is enormous. But it shouldn't be in our churches. We need to understand personal responsibility and take personal responsibility and take personal accountability. If you messed up, you messed up. Own it. Don't own it in a prideful way. No. Just acknowledge it. You know what? I was the one that was wrong. And maybe there were 13 people involved. You don't have to talk about the 13 people. You. You. Did you have your devotions this morning? Did you read your Bible while I was going to church? How about you? You! Personal accountability. Let's stand to our feet. Father, as we look to the invitation now, I pray, God, that you would help us to look at this and accept personal responsibility for our sin. God, help us to stop blaming others. Stop saying, I am this way because. And God, help us just to own the fact that we are sinners by ourselves, by our choice. God, if there's someone here not saved today, I pray that they would get saved, that they would ask you to take their sin and put it on your account because you've offered. God, for those that are saved, God, help us to stop making excuses for why or why not we're doing or not doing what we ought to be doing. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays this morning, I encourage you to come and talk to the Lord. Personal accountability. Is there anybody here today say, I need to get saved? I've never personally accepted Christ as my Savior. Is there anybody? Okay, so we're looking at saved people this morning. Are you living how God wants you to live? Say, how do you know how God wants you to live? Read the Bible. Are you living for God? Are you following God? Look, every excuse in the book is out there, but are you living for God? Sometimes people go as far as to blame their own flesh. Who is my flesh? Look, Jesus gave the victory. He takes even away the ability for us to blame our own weaknesses when He has given the strength and the power to walk with Him. All right, a real great Bible truth that we need to grasp a hold of. It'd be great if society grasps a hold of it, but let's just start here. Just start right here, and let's hold on to personal responsibility and grab a hold of that and live accordingly. All right, Christmas play tonight at 6:30. I hope that you all be here. I really hope that everybody that's in it will be here. That would be really good. Try to invite people even throughout this afternoon. If you know somebody, and invite them. It'll be good. It's got a good message to it. Something that I think can be helpful for believer and non-believer alike. And pray about it, please. Pray about it. And don't rush out. There's a few people got Christmas cards to hand to different people. You run off super, super quick, and we'll be trying to find you next week. And then the week after. Fellowship a little bit. Have a great afternoon. See you tonight.